100 up to 250 today. All about voice recording. And then a little passage at the end about something else, actually from T.A. Reid book, very old book. So I'll just have one more slurp of my water to get me ready. Okay, everybody ready? Okay, ready. Voice recording is the process of capturing sound, especially human speech, and saving it so it can be played back later. It is a simple idea, but it has become a very important part of modern life. People use voice recording for communication, learning, entertainment, and work. From sending voice messages on phones to recording music in studios, voice recording is everywhere. In the past, recording sound was not easy. Early inventions like the phonograph allowed people to record sound on physical objects such as cylinders or discs. These recordings were not very clear and the equipment was large and expensive. Over time, technology improved. Tape recorders made it easier to record and store sound. Later, digital technology changed everything. Today, voice recording is simple, fast, and available to almost everyone through smartphones and computers. Voice recording works by capturing sound waves. When we speak, our voice creates vibrations in the air. A microphone picks up these vibrations and turns them into electrical signals. In digital recording, these signals are then converted into numbers that a computer can store. When you play the recording, the process is reversed. The device turns the stored data back into sound that we can hear through speakers or headphones. Microphones are a key part of voice recording. There are many types of microphones, but they all do the same basic job. Some microphones are built into devices like phones and laptops. Others are external and used by professionals. For example, singers and podcasters often use high-quality microphones to get clear and rich sound. The choice of microphone can affect how the recording sounds. Voice recording has many uses in everyday life. One common use is communication. Many messaging apps allow people to send voice notes instead of typing text. This can be faster and more personal. It also helps people who may find typing difficult. Voice recording is also useful for long-distance communication, such as recording messages for family, friends, or co-workers. Students use voice recording to help with learning. They can record lectures in class and listen to them later. This helps them understand and remember information better. Some people also record their own notes or ideas so they do not forget them. Listening to recordings can be a helpful way to review material, especially for subjects that require careful explanation. In the workplace, voice recording is used in many ways. Journalists record interviews to ensure they capture accurate information. Lawyers may record meetings or statements for legal purposes. Businesses use recordings for training, customer service and meetings. For example, customer support calls are often recorded to improve service and resolve problems. Voice recording is also important in entertainment. Music recording is one of the biggest uses. Singers and musicians record songs in studios using advanced equipment. These recordings are then edited and shared with the public. Podcasts are another popular form of voice recording. People create audio shows on different topics such as news, stories, education and hobbies. Audiobooks are also made using voice recording, allowing people to listen to books instead of reading them. Technology has made voice recording easier and more powerful. Smartphones have built-in apps that allow users to record sound with just a few taps. There are also many software programs for recording and editing audio. These programs allow users to cut, adjust, and improve recordings. For example, they can remove background noise, adjust volume, and add effects. Cloud storage has also changed how voice recordings are used. Instead of saving files only on a device, people can store recordings online. This makes it easy to access them from different devices and share them with others. It also reduces the risk of losing important recordings. Voice recording is closely connected to speech recognition technology. This is when a computer listens to recorded speech and turns it into text. Many virtual assistants use this technology to understand commands. For example, when you speak to your phone or smart speaker, it records your voice and processes it to provide an answer or to perform an action. This shows how voice recording is part of a larger system of technologies. There are also challenges related to voice recording. One issue is privacy. Recording someone without their permission can be a serious problem. In many places, there are laws about when and how recordings can be made. It is important to respect other people's privacy and follow these rules. Another challenge is sound quality. Background noise, poor microphones, and bad recording conditions can affect how clear a recording is. For example, recording in a noisy room can make it hard to hear the speaker. To improve quality, people often use quiet spaces, good microphones, and proper techniques. Storage files and size can also be concerns. High-quality recordings can take up a lot of space. This is less of a problem today because storage is cheaper and larger than before, but it is still something to consider, especially for professionals who record a lot of audio. Editing is an important part of voice recording. Raw recordings are often not perfect. There may be mistakes, pauses, or unwanted sounds. Editing allows users to improve the recording by cutting out errors and making it smoother. This is especially important in music, podcasts, and professional work. Voice recording can also be used for creative purposes. People can create stories, voice acting, and sound effects. It allows individuals to express themselves in unique ways. For example, someone can create a podcast series or record a story for others to enjoy. This makes voice recording not just a technical tool, but also a form of art. Accessibility is another benefit of voice recording. It helps people with disabilities in different ways. For example, people who have difficulty reading can listen to audiobooks. Those who cannot write easily can use voice recording to communicate their ideas. This makes information and communication more inclusive. In education, teachers can use voice recording to create lessons that students can listen to any time. This is especially useful for online learning. Students can learn at their own pace and revisit lessons when needed. Voice recording also helps in language learning as students can practice speaking and listening skills. The future of voice recording looks very promising. Technology is improving all the time. New tools are being developed to make recordings clearer and easier to edit. Artificial intelligence is also being used to enhance recordings, remove noise, and even generate realistic voices. This can save time and improve quality. At the same time, it is important to use voice recording responsibly. People should be aware of ethical issues such as consent and data protection. As recordings become easier to share, it is important to think about how they are used and who has access to them. Voice recording is a simple but powerful technology. It has changed how people communicate, learn, and create. From personal voice notes to professional recordings, it plays a role in many parts of life. Its ease of use and wide range of applications make it an essential tool in the modern world. In conclusion, voice recording is the process of capturing and storing sound for later use. It has evolved from early mechanical devices to advanced digital systems that are easy to use and widely available. It is used in communication, education, business, and entertainment. While there are challenges such as privacy and sound quality, the benefits are very clear. Voice recording helps people share ideas, preserve information, and express creativity. As technology continues to improve, it will become even more useful and important in the future. Now about the qualifications for a reporter. The unfortunate scribe has not thoroughly understood half of what he has heard. How then shall he present an intelligent resume of it to his readers? I have said enough to show that good natural abilities and a tolerably good education are essential qualifications for a reporter. Without these, he will have great difficulty in at once seizing the salient points of an address, and will run the risk, if called upon for a condensed report, of retaining unimportant and omitting important parts, especially if, as will often be the case, the transcript has to be made in haste. A long speech or lecture is reported at night, the paper goes to press in a few hours, and a report of a couple of columns is required. There is barely time to perform the mechanical operation of writing so much. No time, therefore, must be lost in poring over the notes and thinking of the various points to be preserved. The thought must keep pace with the pen. Do not think of leaning back in your chair, shutting your eyes and composing yourself for deliberation as to what you are to write and what to omit. The familiar imp is at your elbow and reminds you that the printers are waiting for copy, but your notes are indistinct. You could not hear well. You have a bad headache. The subject was a difficult one. Unfortunate reporter. The press is imperious. The public takes no note of these things. Take up your pen again. You must not stop even to think, for the printers are waiting for copy. It is, of course, impossible to state the precise amount of education needed by a newspaper reporter, but it is not difficult to indicate the subjects on which he should possess a moderate amount of information. I have seen it gravely stated that nothing less than a university education is required to fit the reporter for the varied duties of his calling. If this were the case, very few reporters could lay claim to competency. Not one in 20, even among those employed on first-class journals, has had the benefit of university training, and comparatively few can boast of a good classical education. It is needless to say that these advantages cannot fail to secure their possessor a greater measure of success than he could hope to attain without them. But it is quite a mistake to suppose that they are indispensable to the reporter. I have known excellent classical scholars who have made very indifferent reporters and could point to many of the most expert and intelligent members of the craft who never construed a line of Virgil and could not go through a tense of Tutto to save their lives. A knowledge of Latin cannot be otherwise than serviceable to the reporter. In almost every kind of public oratory, Latin quotations now and then occur. Though less frequently than in former years, and the ability to write them down as uttered, or so much of them as will afford the means of reference to the source whence they have been taken, will always be a valuable acquisition. The best informed reporter may now and then find himself compelled to seek the assistance of the speaker as to some unfamiliar quotation or some technical expression, but to be obliged to ask his aid in the matter of a commonplace quotation or phrase, which the mere smattering of Latin would suffice to render intelligible, this is a position in which no intelligent reporter with any amount of self-respect would willingly place himself. Still less will he venture on transcribing the words from his notes, however accurately he may appear to have caught them, if he does not know their meaning or is not perfectly assured as to their orthography. It is true that a brother reporter is sometimes at hand, who can give the requisite assistance, and there is commonly sufficient esprit de corps among the members of the fraternity to lead them to lend a helping hand in case of need, but even such aid is not always available, and the result is that the uninformed reporter is compelled to omit a quotation which he would gladly have preserved, or he may be betrayed into some such perversion of the words as an American scribe is said to have perpetrated when a member of Congress said, "Amicus Plato, Amicus Socrates, sed major veritas," which to the speaker's utter bewilderment was rendered in a newspaper on the following day, "I may cuss Plato, I may cuss Socrates, sed major veritas." If, however, Latin has not been acquired in youth, it is almost hopeless to expect that any great proficiency in the language will be attained at a later period in life. But every reporter, if he does not delay the effort till business or family cares and responsibilities engross the time not occupied in his professional labours, may and ought to acquire at least the elements of the language and to familiarise himself with the Latin quotations which are constantly met with in both reading and speaking. This will involve no great labour, and it will repay whatever mental exertion it may cost. The most useful modern language is unquestionably French, and I strongly recommend its acquisition to everyone who desires to qualify himself for the duties of a reporter. I do not mean that he should necessarily aim at speaking and writing the language, but he should at least be able to read it with tolerable ease. Now and then he may find himself face to face with a French speaker who has asked and obtained permission to address the assembly in his own language, and it will be no little satisfaction to him to be able to give a report, if only a short summary, of a speech instead of dismissing it with the bald announcement that M. Provost then addressed the meeting in French.